Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Sri Srimad Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupad Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Oh no, I was told 140. Am I in the wrong place?
This is not the right time.
Who am I?
Last week you did, didn't you? Several verses.
Yeah, but I don't remember what I did.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's hard to stop. Like, I say do three verses, but... Yes, it is. It's all one only. It's all the same book. But it's divided into three divisions here. Speaking to Sanatana Goswami, he's going into Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayoja. I mean, I guess you talked about those last week. Yes? No? Sambandha? Yeah. That's what this is all about. And in text 142, it's like starting to get into Prayojana. So I was told to start with text 140, I think.
What told me is it's printed out and given on it. Aren't
what they have there?
Right. Yeah, so.
So. I'm starting off with controversy, but here we go. Everything will be resolved because Pushkar says it's all one anyway. It's all one book. One book. And it is, and it's full of varieties. So, text 140. I'm not going to read... Well, yeah, the Bengali is pretty nice. We'll read the verse, the translation first. When one actually becomes rich, he naturally enjoys all kinds of happiness. When one is actually in a happy mood, all distressful conditions go away by themselves. No extraneous endeavor is needed. Okay, some pretty obvious. When you're in a happy mood, you're not distressed anymore. When you're wealthy, you're no longer in poverty. All the distresses of poverty go away. So the Bengali, let's look at that. Dhana paile, when one gets riches. Yaiche, just as. Sukha bhoga, enjoyment of happiness, phala, result. Paya, one gets sukha bhoga, real enjoyment of happiness, haite, from. Dukkha, all distresses, apani themselves, palaya, run away. When you're happy, all distresses. Palaya. Do we have any Bengalis here today? Not today. No? So the next verse, 141. Similarly, as a result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. When one is so situated that he can taste the association of Lord Krishna, material existence, the repetition of birth and death, comes to an end. So similarly, as a result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. Similarly to what was just stated. We'd like to rephrase that in their own words. So similarly, anyone want to try? You get two examples. When you're rich, all your money problems go away. You become, all of your distress of being poor goes away. And when you're in a happy mood, all of your distress goes away. So, similarly, as a result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. When one is so situated that he can taste the association of Lord Krishna, material existence, the repetition of birth and death, comes to an end. When one is so situated, okay, when you get to the point where you taste the association of Lord Krishna, material existence, the repetition of birth and death, come to an end. We'll look at the Bengali, Taiche. Similarly, bhakti phale, by the result of devotional service, Krishne, unto Lord Krishna, prema, love, upajaya, arises. Taiche, bhakti phale, Krishna, prema, upajaya. Preme, in devotional love, Krishna, asvada, tasting the association of Lord Krishna, phale, when there is, bhava, the distress of the repetition of birth and death, nasha, annihilation, paya, obtains. Prema, Krishna, svada, haila, bhava, nasha, paya. And next verse, 142. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. So the Bengali, Daridra Nasha, the end of poverty-stricken life, Bhava Kshaya, annihilation of material existence, Premera, of love of Godhead, Phala, the result, Naya, certainly is not. Daridra Nasha, Bhava Kshaya, Premera, Phala, Naya. Prema Sukha Bhoga, enjoyment of the happiness of love of God. Mukhya, chief. Prayojana, goal of life. Haya, is. Prema Sukha Bhoga, Mukhya, Prayojana, Prayojana Haya. Translation again. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. Purport. The results of devotional service are certainly not material benefits or liberation from material bondage. The goal of devotional service is to be eternally situated in the loving service of the Lord and to enjoy spiritual bliss from that service. One is said to be in a poverty-stricken condition when one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to end such a life of poverty in order to automatically end the miserable conditions of material existence. One is automatically liberated from material enjoyment when one tastes the service of Krishna. One does not have to endeavor separately for opulence. Opulence automatically comes to the pure devotee, even though he does not desire material happiness. And that's as far as I'm supposed to go. But we can go further. The next verse, I'm going to read it. In Vedic literature, Krishna is the central point of attraction, and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. And the Bengali for that, Veda Shastre Kahe Sambandha Avideya Prayojan, Krishna, Krishna Bhakti Prema Tina Mahadhana. So the Vedas talk about Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. And I assume everybody here knows what those three terms mean. Does anybody not know what that means? Sambandha, Avideya, Prayojana? Okay. We're going to touch on it a little bit. But Mahadhana, the three greatest treasures in life are Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, and Prema. So those three relate to Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojan. Krishna, hearing about Krishna, that there is such a personality as Krishna, that we do have, the whole, how far to go back. This is one of the first stories that Prabhupada tells when he comes, when he gets that temple started in 1966. He starts with Bhagavad Gita classes because that's what Americans are interested in. But as he starts getting a following, he can't help but tell the story of Sanatana Goswami escaping and running through villages with his servant who's held the five gold coins. Was it five? How many was it?
Eight
gold coins, sorry. Okay, got to get it right. And someone's taking good care of them, and he's thinking, why is this person being so nice to us? And it turns out that person had an astrologer who could tell, this guy has eight gold coins. Yes, the servant was carrying eight gold coins. And Sanatana Goswami was conversant with the world, and he said, this is unusual that this person would take such good care of a stranger. So he asked his servant, his assistant, did you bring some money with you? He said, yes, I have seven gold coins. And he said, give them to me. And he goes to the innkeeper, says, here, take these. And the innkeeper was like, oh, thank you. I was going to kill you and take all your money. Actually, you have one more gold coin. That's a good astrologer, if you can tell that much, just by meeting someone. That person there, I don't know how he did it. Was it, what do you call that? When you take the moment of time and then you do a reading on that moment. What's the name?
Prashna,
yeah. Did a Prashna reading. As soon as this guy showed up, oh, let's do a Prashna reading. This guy has eight gold coins. Like, wow, how do they do that? Sanatana Goswami goes off from there on his own, and he ends up at the door of Chandrasekhar's house in Benares. Lord Chaitanya is there. Boy, there's another story going on. Lord Chaitanya had left Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan. And the first time, it was just such a great crowd of people following him. When he got to Rupa and Sanatan, Davirkash and Sakharamalik were their names at the time, and they said, okay, anyway, they offered prayers. They're really glad to meet each other. Finally, they've been sending letters back and forth. And then they just kind of made a comment, going to Vrindavan with such a crowd, this isn't really the proper way to go to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya thought, you're right. So he heads back to Jagannath Puri, thinking, I've come all this way just to meet these two, Rupa and Sanatan. He sees that as so important. While we were reading that section with our reading group, we looked on Google Maps to see, like, okay, from Jagannath Puri to Ramakeli. I don't think Ramakeli was on the map, but there are some other towns that gave us an idea where that is. So we could see how long of a journey he took. And then at that point, you know, how close he is to Vrindavan. And, all right, yeah, I'll just go back to Jagannath Puri and start over again. Then a couple years later, he makes the journey to Vrindavan. And he gets there. And let's see, I think this meeting happens on his way back from Vrindavan, because here he mentions to Sanatan, I just saw your two brothers, Rupa and Anupam. You just missed them. And they keep trying to meet, but they can't seem to all get together at the same time and be with Lord Chaitanya. There's always this really close calls. Happens in Jagannath Puri also. You just missed your brother. Oh, by the way, your younger brother just died. So Lord Chaitanya gets to Vrindavan. He is so overwhelmed with ecstasy that Balabhadra is concerned for his safety and begs him, please, let's get you out of here. And Lord Chaitanya feels such gratitude to Balabhadra. He says, you've taken me to Vrindavan. I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me. You brought me here. I haven't experienced the slightest discomfort on this journey. So whatever you want to do. He didn't want to leave Vrindavan. He wasn't there for very long. Just like a few weeks, I think. And so gets him out of Vrindavan, and on their way back, they're in Benares. And I think that's, was it on its way in or its way back to Vrindavan? Anybody know?
Back.
Back, okay. And he had already been to Benares and made some effect on the population there. And they were all doing kirtan. And then Sanatan Goswami shows up at the door, penniless. And he looked, he didn't even look like a Vaishnav when Lord Chaitanya said, go to the door. There's a Vaishnav outside your door. Chandrasekhar looks and he says, I don't see anyone. I see a Muslim saint, but I don't see any Vaishnavs. And Lord Chaitanya said, go look again. Let him in. Bring him in. And as soon as they see each other, they stand up, they embrace. And Chandrasekhar is wondering, why is Lord Chaitanya hugging this Muslim guy? And why is he experiencing so much happiness from seeing him? Then there's the incident. He has one valuable cheddar. I wore this just for. And, oh yeah, Lord Chaitanya says, all right, shave all your hair off and put on Vaishnava clothes. And Sanatan Goswami begs for some used cloth from Chandrasekhar. He's wearing that, but Lord Chaitanya keeps glancing at the valuable woolen cheddar that he's wearing. And he's like, Sanatan gets the clue, so he goes and he trades that for a used one, and Lord Chaitanya is really happy with his renunciation. He hasn't officially taken sannyas, but this is, it's mentioned that he was happy with this. This is the proper mood for a sannyasi, not to wear lavish clothes. Then at some point, they're sitting and talking, and it says that just as formerly, Lord Chaitanya asked the questions and Ramananda Roy gave the answers. So this is a very similar discussion, but Sanatana Goswami is asking the questions, Lord Chaitanya is answering. And so he starts off with the Kayami, Kenyamai, who am I? Well, actually he said, let's see if I could find that. You know the verse number, Prashkar?
Not my forte.
All right. 40? Forte, did you see? Putting a straw in his mouth, bowing down, Sanatana Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and humbly spoke as follows. And then there's a picture of it here. Somebody did a painting of that one. Who did that one, do you know?
Probably Jadarani. Most likely 97%.
Uh-huh. Which that was back when everybody was working together.
I don't know. That's it.
Oh, yeah, this is Adi Leela,
well,
yeah. Oh yeah, so there's a river, there's trees, there's the grass in front, and the flowers, okay. Putting a straw in his mouth and bowing down, Sanatana Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and humbly spoke as follows. I was born in a low family, and my associates are all low-class men. I myself am fallen, and am the lowest of men. Indeed, I have passed my whole life fallen in the well of sinful materialism. I do not know what is beneficial for me and what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me a learned scholar, and I am also thinking of myself as such. Out of your causeless mercy, you have delivered me from the materialistic path. Now, by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is. So Prabhupada, when he arrived in San Francisco, 1967, just a few days later, he's given classes every day. And just a few days later, room full of hippies, brand new people, he tells them, spiritual master means you go to him, your mind is a blank slate. You hand him the chalk and you say, now you please write whatever you want in there. Tell me what to think. I don't know anything. So he's saying that to a room full of hippies that just met him, like, the only person that's been experienced there is Mukunda and Janaki. Everybody else is brand new, and Prabhupada boldly says, this is the way to approach the spiritual master. And just by Prabhupada's hypnotism, by the mercy of the situation of that time, everybody was charmed by him, and they said, okay. Nobody argued. He listened to the whole lecture. There's nobody at the end saying, I can't do that. Malati was there. Shamsundar. Oh. Okay, actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all of these truths. Let's see, does it say, yes, sadhya. Sadhya, the goal of spiritual life, sadhana, of the process of obtaining that goal. So this is the same discussion that Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya had. And this is the same thing that comes up throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whenever Lord Chaitanya meets someone, he asks, what is the goal of life? What is the means for obtaining it? So sadhya, sadhana, we're familiar with that word. Sadhana is our practice, and sadhya is the goal, what you're going to get. So Sanatana is asking, sadhya, sadhana, tattva, Puchite na jani. Puchite, to inquire. I don't even know how to inquire about these two things. Kripakari sabha tattva kaha ta apani. Please personally explain this to me. Apani. Kahate apani. Please personally explain to me. Kripakari, by your causeless mercy. Next verse. I'm in text 104, but chapter 20. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you, so that all things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. And he goes on, and he always starts off talking about the energies of Krishna. Every time there's a philosophical discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm looking at text 111 now. I don't know how much more I'll read from it. Well, text 110. This one always comes up. Every time he meets someone, meets the Tattvavadis, the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, meets the Buddhists, he meets everybody, the Mayavadis that he met in Varanasi. It always, and with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it always goes through this. The first thing is, Ekadesha stitasnyagya jyotsna vistharini yata. Parasya brahmana shaktis tatedam akilam jagat. Just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over this universe. So he's talking about the energies of Vishnu. This is from the Vishnu Purana. Then a couple verses later, Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta. That there are three energies of Vishnu. And the reason for this is to defeat what Shankaracharya has spoken about, because their philosophy says there are no energies. It's all one. It's all Advaita. And if it appears to be an energy, and if it appears to be separate, it's just an illusion. Everything is Brahman. Everything is all one. So this is the beginning of dismantling that conception. Yes, it's all one, but look what the Vishnu Purana says. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta. It's said that Vishnu has Shaktis. And then it lists those Shaktis. Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para. So Kshetra Gya, the living entities, are the Para Prakriti. Avidya Karma Samyanya. Let's see, Kshetra Gyakya, how's that broken down? Okay, para is the spiritual shakti. Kshetra Gyakya, the potency known as Kshetra Gya. Tata, as well as para, the spiritual. And then the third one is Avidya Karma Samyanya. Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate. So Tritiya is the third shakti potency, Ishyate. Known thus. So he goes into that, he talks about the Shaktis, and then in 117, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Krishna buli se jiva anadi bahir mukha, atayeva mayatari deya samsara sukh duk, atayeva mayatari deya samsara duk. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. So this is Sambandha Gyan. It's giving Sambandha Gyan. We are the Shakti of Vishnu, the Kshetra Gya Shakti. Forgetting Krishna from time immemorial, the illusory energy gives us all kinds of misery in material existence. Let's see, material condition, living entity is sometimes raised to a higher planetary system and material prosperity and sometimes drowned in a hellish situation. His state is exactly like that of a criminal whom a king punishes by submerging him in water and then raising him again from the water. Then he quotes from the 11th canto, Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesatasya ishadapetasya viparyayo smriti. So, when we're attracted, let's see. Tan maya yato buddha abhajit tam bak yai kayesham guru deva tatma. Bhayam dvitiya. As soon as we see dvitiya, two separate things, we don't see Krishna everywhere, we're overwhelmed with bhaya or fear. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesatasya ishadapetasya viparyayo smriti. Reversal of the position. Apetasya. So we're running in the wrong direction. Because of this illusion, we're attracted to temporary material things. Now he explains in text 120 how we come out of this situation. Sadhu shastra kripayadi Krishna Mukahaya. So you can hear Prabhupada speaking on this in 1966, those recordings. He's reciting these verses. There's no Chaitanya Charitamrita in place. He's so excited about this that he just wants to tell it. And you can hear the excitement in his voice when he, Sadhu Shastra Kripa Yadi Krishna Mukahaya Se Jiva Nishtari Maya Tahare Chadai. So he's speaking on these, and his brand new students are sitting there. Some of them are taking notes. They take those notes, and they write them up, and they put them in the Back to Godhead magazine. That Prabhupada has got them starting on a handful of hippies. Prabhupada was doing it single-handed. Now he's got people who are writing the articles for it, and they're taking it direct from his lectures. So, wow, things are really happening for him. And because of those talks, he's thinking, this is really important. So I believe it was the very first book that he published in America was The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I think he did that before the Bhagavad Gita. Is that, anybody know offhand?
Before.
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Bhagavad Gita, which one came first? I think it was because Govindadasi and Gaurasundar were doing the drawings.
I remember seeing them both in 68, 69.
Govindadasi also did the drawing on the original Bhagavad Gita, the purple one. Yeah. Yeah. So her and her husband did the drawings that are in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah, and then there was a lot of folk that did drawings.
Yeah.
Later on, he did a bunch of drawings because he thought that's cool, we'll do drawings for some new song books, 72, but then probably said, we don't want black and white drawings. So I think he used them in various places, but got to the point where they used the color already so that you don't go back and
use. Yep. Yeah, those drawings are really good in the song book. Those are by Parikshit in the songbook. All right, so here he's describing sambandha, which means an awareness of your connection with Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya brings in this story. There was a man who was poor, and he met an astrologer. The astrologer told him, you're not poor. You have a wealth, and somebody is, it's all hidden, it's for you. And so there's sambandha. just the idea of knowing, oh, I'm not rich. Okay, but still there's two more steps that need to be done. And so the astrologer tells him, here's the procedure. You need to go to this place, and you need to dig on this side, and all of these things mean different things. Like if you dig on that side, that's compared to karma, and you dig on the other side, that's gyan, and then you dig on the other side, that's yoga. But if you dig on this side, which is bhakti, immediately you're going to find your treasure. You're going to get it right away. And so throughout the whole discussion, throughout the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, karma, gyan, yoga, those procedures are like, why waste your time with it? Just like, you'll be happy to hear, sitting on my desk, I've got a letter that came to me last year that said, you and your brothers and sister, there's some money waiting for you. And we looked at it, and it's a pretty good chunk. It's $10,000. But divided between the four of us and all of the work that it will take to get it out, by the time we go through all of the trouble, we're going to get like $20 or something. Yeah, just because it's all tied up in all kinds of weird stuff. And so I would say that's just like doing karma, gyan, or yoga. You do all of the work, and like, oh boy, and you.
The hornet's nest.
Oh yeah, what was that?
That sounds like your.
Oh, the hornet's. The hornet's nest one. What was that one about? Anybody?
It's on the south side.
Yeah.
Karma.
Oh, it bites back. Okay, so if you dig to the side which represented karma, there's a hornet's nest there. You're going to get bit really bad. Yeah. Okay, so there it is. It's still sitting on my desk. I just look at it. And like, is it worth the trouble? But this is, okay, now I'll go back to today's verse, the one with the purport. Go. Oh no. It was 142.
Page 78.
Yeah, but I'm going to 142. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. So that's text 142. And purport, the results of devotional service are certainly not material benefits or liberation from material bondage. The goal of devotional service is to be eternally situated in the loving service of the Lord and to enjoy spiritual bliss from that service. One is said to be in a poverty-stricken condition when one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to end such a life of poverty in order to automatically end the miserable conditions of material existence. One is automatically liberated from material enjoyment when one tastes the service of Krishna. One does not have to endeavor separately for opulence. Opulence automatically comes to the pure devotee, even though he does not desire material happiness. Now in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami is describing the six qualities of bhakti, Kleshagni and Shubhada are the first two. Kleshagni, all of your material, all of your miseries go away. Kleshagni, all your problems solved immediately. And Shubhada, it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. All good things come to you. So he breaks that down, he gives an elaborate description. What does it mean to be free from all miseries? What does it mean to become wealthy and happy? And he talks about different kinds of sinful reactions, how they're all eradicated by practicing bhakti. And he quotes from the 11th canto, where Krishna says, my dear Uddhava, just as a fire burns wood, an unlimited supply of wood to ashes, so in the same way, by engaging in bhakti, all of your sinful reactions are burned to ashes. So Jiva Goswami makes a little commentary on that. And in there he says, when you're cooking, you burn sticks. The burning of sticks is secondary to the goal of cooking. So burning up of our karma, that's secondary. What we're really trying to do is the goal of love of result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. So we're engaging in the procedure of bhakti, and that is the second phase of sambandha. Sambandha abhideya. Abhideya is the procedure. Prayojana is getting the goal. So here he's kind of discussing both. We're engaging in bhakti. This is the goal of bhakti. You're doing this abhideya not to get free from poverty or even free from problems. Devotees that are pure, they don't even care about the five kinds of liberation. They don't care about anything. They only care about pleasing and satisfying Krishna. Daridra nasha bhavakshaya premera pala naya. So daridra nasha, getting free of your poverty, bhavakshaya, getting liberation, premera pala naya, that's not the goal. Prema sukha bhoga is the goal. Prema sukha, happiness, the happiness, you enjoy the happiness of prema. Mukhya prayojan haya. That's mukhya is translated as the chief. Chief prayojan haya. And as far as in the purport, Prabhupada says, one is in a poverty-stricken condition when one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to end such a life of poverty in order to automatically end the miserable conditions of material existence. So there's a little, let's see if I can find that quote. Oh yeah, here we go. We are in Canto 10, just by good fortune. Our group happens to be in the 10th canto chapter. We're in chapter 13, but this was from last week. This is Shukadev Goswami just being real excited after talking about Agasura. When the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained so for a long, long time. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Krishna is the cause of all causes. The cause and effects of the material world, both higher and lower, are created by the Supreme Lord, the original controller. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, he did so by his causeless mercy. Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulence was not at all wonderful. So here's the verse that I wanted to bring up in relation to seeing Krishna. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. Okay, isn't that nice? If even only once, or by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. So just once you bring that form into your mind, or by force, someone forces you and says, look at this. So just by once doing it. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities? So in the purport, they're talking about, what? Agasura thought of Krishna with devotion? When did that happen? How did he achieve liberation? And Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath saying, yeah, just for a brief moment, he thought of Krishna with devotion. He looked at him and thought, isn't that cute? He comes here with the intention of, I'm going to kill Krishna. He killed my older brother, Bagasura. He killed my sister, Putana. Now I'm going to get revenge and kill him. So he did his plan, sitting there on the road with his mouth open. All the cowboys walked in, and he's looking at Krishna like, come on, walk in. I want to kill you. But while he was looking at him, he just thought, just had a little bit of devotion, and that was enough. Also, Vishwanath, like whenever somebody speaks against Krishna, they give a speech saying Krishna is bad. He'll take the Sanskrit and turn it around so actually it's glorification. Krishna's good. It's what they really mean. He can't let it sit. And so he was saying the demons coming and interrupting Krishna's play are actually service. He sees everyone is doing service, even the demons. Because his reasoning is, the boys are playing and they're so absorbed in their play, they would never stop and eat lunch if the demons didn't come and interrupt them. So that's their only purpose. That's their service, to come in. Oh, time for lunch, let's go. Bakasura appears. Let's see, what? All right, and then another reference. Okay, this is, I hope we have time. Yeah, this is really cool. So here's what you get. Here's the prayojan. I'm going to speak about this, and you're going to wonder, what is he talking about? What's that got to do with anything?
Where is it from?
This is from chapter 12, canto 10, text 5. It's the beginning of the killing of the demon Agasura. One morning, Krishna said, he planned, they're all going to go out and eat their breakfast as a picnic. So they're going to go further out than they normally do. They're still like 5 years old. They're little kids taking care of the cows. But it's a big deal. All the kids, all of his friends, they're having a hard time sleeping that night. Wow, I've got to go out and eat breakfast with Krishna as a picnic. So it's a big deal. This is where they all steal each other's lunch bags and they're playing and having fun. So along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Prabhupada writes a purport about unlimited. In this verse, the words Krishna Vatsair Asankyatai are significant. The word Asankyata means unlimited. Krishna's calves were unlimited. Okay. Now Prabhupada's going to help us understand. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word asankyatai. Krishna is unlimited. His potency is unlimited. His cows and calves are unlimited, and his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita as Parabrahman. The word Brahman means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme, unlimited Parabrahman. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. They are factual. They are factual, but inconceivable. By the way, while Prabhupada's writing this, dictating this, it's like from that little scene in the movie, Your Ever Well Wisher. He's speaking these powerful words with barely even a whisper. Krishna can accommodate any unlimited number of calves and an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false, but if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Our senses cannot perceive how he could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sri Sanatana Goswami states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. It is in this sense that we have to understand this verse. So, asankhyata. So, when we get the prayojana goal, that is also asankhyata. While we read this, we discussed it, somebody brought up, well, living entities, aren't we unlimited? And in a sense, yes, we are unlimited. In a limited way, we're unlimited. Krishna is the supreme. And you look at the potency of someone who is in touch with the supreme unlimited, the Parabrahman. Brahman means unlimited. Krishna is the Parabrahman, the supreme unlimited. When sparks are in touch with the fire, they glow, they fly, they look beautiful. When they fall down, they just get covered over with ash. They don't have the same potency. So long as we're connected to Krishna, we glow, we dance, we are unlimited. And look at Prabhupada translating this. He's an example of someone who's right in there. I mean, how many people are there in the world where large groups of people will study their writings every day for hours and discuss that, meditate on that, pray to those people, study every aspect of their life? Like, some people may be interested in, say, someone like Einstein. You could read his books and study his teachings. He didn't write as much as Prabhupada, though. And people who are totally dedicated to Einstein, they kind of have to overlook some things in his life, his personal life. Like, okay, he did some weird things, and, you know, we're not going to talk about that. But with Prabhupada, we're fascinated with every little thing that he's done. This is what asankhya means, uncountable, immeasurable. And each of us has the potency. Each of us has that sambandha to Krishna. And if we engage in the prayojana of every step, every mantra that we chant, it's a little bit of avideya, a little bit of the practice, gradually chipping away at it. If you're doing a painting, you could work on it for weeks and weeks, and then finally one little brush stroke and it's done. Okay. Of course, we're never done. Or if you're building a house, some great big project, you drive the last nail in there. Okay, house is done. At some point, there'll be the last nail driven in us, the last brush stroke, and then we'll be in the next stage, prayojana. Of course, all three seem to always be going on. We're studying sambandha while we're doing avideya. We're following the practice of bhakti. And we still need sambandha jnana. We still need to know more about our situation and our connection to Krishna. And we're also getting a little dribble of, little hint of prayojana here and there. So it's not like, you know, here. It's a spectrum. We're somewhere in that spectrum. We're doing all three. All right. Oh, boy. I think I went over time. I'm sorry. So any questions, any discussions? Yes.
Yes, first of all, thank you for that wonderful glorification of Srila Prabhupada, pointing out him in comparison to any other author in the world, and how his readers are studying these books daily all over the world and repeating in detail, you know. That was a wonderful tribute. Thank you. Also, in the purport here, it's kind of interesting, this one sentence: one is automatically liberated from material enjoyment when one tastes the service of Krishna. It's like, what? Who wants to be liberated from material enjoyment? I mean, this is what everybody's after. But if one comes across this statement, then it becomes a little, there's something better than material enjoyment. And to be liberated is an aspiration, you know, from material enjoyment. Very good. You know, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, when you have something better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also stated that throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya repeatedly questions, what is the goal of life and what are the means for attaining it? Where else is that exchange going on between, other than Ramananda Roy, Sanatana Goswami?
Ramananda Roy, Sanatana, the Madhvacharyas, the Tattvavadis, when he goes there, he asks them these same two questions.
He did, okay.
And let's see, does that come up with Prakashananda? It might. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. I think it might be in there. Maybe not directly. He may not directly use those words. But yeah, as we were reading it with our group, it was like, hey, there, he's asking that again. Sadhana and sadhya. What is the sadhana? What is the sadhya?
Thank you for your class. Could you, you mentioned the point about how Prabhupada's glory of his whole life was something we could look forward, look to as an example, not just certain segments. And you used the word asankhita. Could you reiterate that point again? How asankhita, uncountable, or, you know, is connected in that way?
Yeah. Well, the living entities. Let's see. In the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, it talks about, you know, Krishna has 64 qualities. Vishnu has 60. Lord Shiva has, I forget the numbers, I'm not real good with numbers. And then living entities can get up to this much. And Prabhupada likes to say, you know, he puts it into like 78%. The living entity can have 78% of it. He gets some percentage. Anybody know the number offhand? It's okay, you get the idea. Can have this much. And living entities means up to Lord Brahma. Brahma can have this many. Yeah?
Shiva's
96%. 96% for Shiva. And so who's good with math? 60 and 64%. 60 qualities, 64 qualities. 60 for Vishnu, 64. What percentage would that be? If you got it, you can do it on a calculator real quick. But anyway. We can have some percentage and look at Brahma, look at what he can do, like in his meditation, he's like tending to the whole creation of the world. So that's pretty big. That's a lot of shakti. And if you're in touch with the unlimited and you completely give yourself to the asankhyata, then you become this. Prabhupada uses, it's in a purport in the first canto, something about people who are totally surrendered to Krishna, they carry the current. He uses the word current several times. He's talking about electrical current. There's unlimited current, and it can pass through, the full current can pass through a person. By the way, I was talking to the line crew yesterday, and they're fixing a fuse up on the pole, and I asked, how much power is going through those lines? It said 14,400 volts. Then it comes to your house, and then there's a box there, and that brings it down to 240. And that's what goes to your house, 240 volts. So that kind of power comes in, goes to the next box, brings it down to something usable at our house. So there's unlimited current flowing through Krishna, goes to the transfer station of the power lines, come to a transfer station, and then they drop it down to 14,400 volts. Then it comes to your door. There's a box there to bring it down to 240. So all along the way, there's little stages to bring it down. So Krishna, he's unlimited. Some of that Shakti comes through different people. Comes through all of us. We're all carrying a little bit of that. We can pass it along. One day, I was watching another line crew and asked, ever see an accident? And he said, yeah. Somebody forgot to put his gloves on, and he was touching the hot line. You can touch the hot line, but if you touch the ground, then it runs through you and it'll shock you. And he said this guy got thrown out of the bucket, burned off part of his hand. Anyway, he was lucky to be alive. He lived through it. So I was just thinking, okay, big power, don't touch the ground. There was a ground wire that he accidentally touched while he was holding that. So you can hold on to that power just so long as you are not in material consciousness. So I was thinking, like, okay, got to come up with some analogy for that. And so that's what I was thinking. So every day I walk, I'm looking up there, wow, 14,400 volts. Whoa, don't touch it and touch the ground at the same time. Because you wonder, like, birds are sitting on that. It's not insulated. It's just wire, bare wire. And the birds are sitting on it. They're not getting shocked. But if a bird touches, or a monkey touches that and then touches the ground wire, that's it. No more monkey. So to become free from anarthas, then we can handle this spiritual Shakti. And we've all seen it on book distribution where it's just flowing through you and like, wow, look at this. And then as soon as you think, now I know how to do it, I'm really cool, then it's gone. The power shuts off. And someone like Prabhupada, he's just got it going all the time. It comes through in his words, in his actions, and that's why we're interested. So, asankhyata, it's unlimited. It's got the unlimited Shakti. Okay, sorry for going over time. Srila Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai. Lord Chaitanya ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Bol. Mother Mukya, the chief of President Kijai.